Have you ever hoped to find yourself in the nation's spotlight? In the world's glare, perhaps? Dreamt of your 15 minutes of fame? I personally couldn't think of anything worse than what we call today going viral. But I've long been fascinated by how those who have coped and what happened next. I'm Emma Barnett, and in this BBC Radio 5 Live podcast, I'll be exploring what it's really like to be swept up in the eye of the storm, for good reasons and bad. This episode is one of my favourites because of the pure joy that is former head teacher Sean Halfpenny, who came to the world's attention when health and safety rules in schools appeared to have gone mad. His storm was dubbed Conkergate, though, as you'll find out, the story wasn't all that it seemed. Sean stepped into the limelight in 2004 wearing little more than a towel with a story about the humble horse chestnut.
Children have been banned from playing Conkers at a school in Carlisle unless they wear safety goggles. The head teacher there reckons bits of Conker could fly off and hurt the children. So has he got a point? Have you ever been hurt playing Conkers, or is it just daft?
Sean Halfpenny, are goggles really necessary if you want to play Conkers?
Well, they're not necessary. But if you don't want to have your eyes damaged, I think it's a sensible precaution.
So are you insisting that your pupils wear goggles if they want to play Conkers?
Yes, that's the only thing we insist on.
But it seems a bit over the top. Has anybody ever lost an eye through a Conker?
I don't know, but we do live in a culture nowadays where people sue at the drop of a hat, so I think it's sensible.
The story exploded into a media storm, hitting the cover of The Sun, with people saying we'd gone Conker bonkers. This is Sean Halfpenny reliving his time in the eye of the storm. When did you realise these comments of yours, and how did these first comments come about, that they had gathered so much attention?
Well, to take you back, we were on a school trip with the children at a place called Appleby in Cumbria, and we're supposed to be researching river erosion. But we parked the bus by an avenue of horse chestnut trees, and this very prim and proper lady was lecturing the children, who were paying no attention because they're all picking up the conkers off the floor. Conkers are beautiful things, inside and out. So I told them off and pay attention. Well, I carried on limbo dancing, shoving them in my pocket, you see. So when we finished, this lady was very pleased. And I said, look, I said, when we get back to school, you can play conkers. And they looked at me in astonishment because they'd never heard of this conkers before, never played. So I explained to them that when I was a kid, you would get a hot knitting needle and make a hole in it. And so they were intrigued. And I said, but I'll bring in my drill and I'll drill out the holes and not let you lot loose with hot knitting needles. So I said, oh, one more thing, you'll have to wear glasses. You'll have to wear safety glasses. And I forgot all about it. And I was sat in my office the next day with a colleague, and he looked out the window. He said, what's going on there? And all these kids were wearing goggles playing conkers. And I couldn't believe it, you see. They take me face value. Somebody even came in with the dad's welding mask, you know. Anyway, so I
so,
said,
so to be clear, you never directly banned Conkers or made your students as a headmaster wear goggles?
No, it's a bit of an urban myth, which we'll come on to, I think. But I just contacted the local press and they liked the story, you know. I was always good press. So they sent a photographer in, and that was it. I forgot about it.
So you just got in touch saying, you know, all my kids have rocked up with these goggles on today after I said
this.
They
got a photo, so they came and took it.
Right.
It was middle of the paper, nothing exciting, and I forgot about it. And then the next day, I get a phone call from a news agency in Newcastle, and seeing where this guy knew me, and said, oh, Sean, and he asked me a few questions, and forgot about it again. And the next morning, I'm stepping out of the shower at 7:15, and I'm stood there naked with water dripping off my little extensions, you know. I was cold, and I wasn't pleased because the phone was going.
What a thought. Yeah, go on.
What a sight, I could tell you. And
go on.
And this very posh voice at the other end, you know, with the sort of accent that the BBC insisted on in the 1950s, asked me, are I seeing the Sun newspaper? I thought it was my mate taking a mickey. So I used a very Anglo-Saxon expression that began with F and finished with off. Con.
Right.
And there's a sharp intake of breath saying, this is Radio 4.
So Radio 4
give you a ring, the Today programme there, and you think it's your mate, and you're standing there naked.
That's right. Thinking, why are you doing this to me? I've never upset you, So anyway, I said, yeah, I'll do an interview. So I did this interview, and they had some guy on who was the president of the preservation of the game of Conkers. And it turned out he was the president of everything, the president of the preservation of handlebar moustaches. I'm not joking, he makes a living out of it, this guy. Anyway, so we did, I said, can I be flippant? And he said again, this is Radio 4.
It's all right, we welcome that on Five Live.
Right, so I was quite flippant. Anyway, so I get to school, right, and by 9 o'clock, there's five TV crews in the yard and a couple of radio stations. I couldn't believe it, you know, and all these reporters are vying with me. And I'm stood there killing myself laughing, but keeping a straight face, dropping all the puns like, you know, the kernel of this is and all that old chestnut. And they're saying, don't use that, I won't use that. So they're all using my puns to introduce and then the... Anyway, so it went absolutely mad. And we even went on BBC, was it News 24, you know, the global thing.
Yes.
And two children went down with me at the very same studio. And the guy who interviewed us, I won't name him, but he still does the programme. And he was trying to take the mickey, basically, of me and the children, and they weren't having any. And they said, have you got your Conkers with you in your glasses? So they put them on and held them up. And he says, don't you think you look absolutely stupid? And this little girl, Danielle, cracking lass, turns out to be a beauty queen. And anyway, she says, if it wasn't for these goggles and the Conkers, you wouldn't be broadcasting us all around the world 24 hours a day. You've made us famous. So we thought, great, you can't lose. What a star this kid was, you know. And so it went on. So they talk about the 2 minutes of fame. Well, it's still running 11 years later.
We're talking to you. We're trying to understand how, you know, people feel when they do get wrapped up in something that is so much bigger than they could have imagined. And for you, I mean, when you tell a very good story about it, but when you sort of sat back and thought, okay, you know, I'm all over the news. How did you feel?
Well, it was a bit, oh, God, I want to escape from this. I mean, I'd hate to be somebody famous, to have the paparazzi chasing you all the time. You know, and we just got call after call, and the best call came from somebody who wanted to do a programme about health and safety. And he mentioned this guy, Arthur Smith, and I said, yeah, come and do it. And of course, it didn't register who Arthur Smith was. So this crew arrived, and we got a lunch for them, and they all sat tucking in at the lunch. And the doorbell rang, and this rather dishevelled man came at the door. And I was going to give him some money. I thought he needed some help, you know. And he says, it's Arthur Smith. And I looked at him, because I recognised him straight away. I didn't realise it was him, you know, who was doing the programme. So we came in and we did this programme, this shot in the yard with all the children around us, both of us wearing goggles and Conkers, which we put in our pockets. And we did it like high noon, you know, the gunfight at the OK Corral. And when they showed it, it was all slowed down. It was really good, and they had the music playing. And we both drew back our jackets, pulled out the Conkers, and Arthur held his Conker up, and I went first. And, of course, I smashed it. And it, all the kids cheers, but it flew off, his Conker flew off and hit him in his genitals, at which point one of the kids said, what a load of balls. And they cut that out. I thought that was the best bit of the whole show. Anyway, no doubt it's in some outtakes somewhere. But anyway,
we seem to have a good focus here in some ways on this Conker story on the nether regions of men as well. But in terms of then the urban myth about of this actually being something you meant seriously, did you ever try and correct that?
Oh, certainly did. I mean, the Times...
Because you've become known as, like, the health and safety man.
Yeah. But the right-wing press only published the stories they wanted to put. And I wrote to the Express and the Mail, and they wouldn't publish me later. I wrote to the Times in a huge article, and there was a guy in it called... You know, they have a section called The Thunderer.
Yes.
Right? And this guy was a professor of psychology at... I think it was Essex University. And... at the bottom it said, so-and-so professor is the author of Where Have All the Intellectuals Gone? So I wrote a lovely letter, put it in right, and signed it off with weenie-weedy escapulous hippocastrum winky. For apologies to Latin scholars, I care, my soul, I conquered. But I finished it with, perhaps if Professor so-and-so could have afforded the bus fare, he could have come with the rest of us to find out where the intellectuals went, you know. And they never published it. I thought it was a brilliant letter, but there we are.
So you did seek to correct it?
Yeah, and it was only when Cameron sounded off about about health and safety, and he was quoting things like hairdressers who have to practice with plastic scissors, and they're all urban myths, so I don't know who written his speech. Anyway, so The Guardian ran this story, and so I contacted them. I said, "You've just got it all wrong." I said, "I never banned Conkers. I allowed Conkers to happen, you see." And so they gave me a right of reply, and I put the record straight, at which point the health and safety executive wrote to The Guardian saying how irresponsible I had been, you see. I mean, very stuffy.
What, because allowing this to go out as a straight story?
Oh, yeah. And of course, we were famous. We were on Jonathan Ross's Quiz of the Year, University Challenge, twice we've been on there. The ultimate accolade, of course, was on Mastermind. It was already been on QI, and they had Jeremy Clarkson on, and it was on Top Gear, and they were playing Conkers with Caravans, because they don't like Caravans, seemingly. Anyway, but he was on QI again, and they flashed up the newspaper, the front of the Sun, the image, and immediately they all buzzed in saying, "Oh, the headmaster banned goggles," and Stephen Fry, bless him, was the only one who got it right. He says, "No, he didn't."
Isn't he just something? I could have listened to Sean all day. And it's wonderful to really hear what happened with him versus what the stories said at the time, especially in an era of fake news as we seem to be living in. I like clearing things up, but it just shows one misunderstood joke and you can be known online forevermore as Conker Man. Well, I would love to hear your thoughts. Do get in touch. You can do it on social media. Use the hashtag of my programme on 5Live, which is called 5Live Daily. I know you know it. Or leave me a review.
You're listening to a BBC 5Live podcast.
Eye of the Storm with Emma Barnett.
If you like this, you might also like this.
Kermo de Mayo's film review.
If you don't know your app from your elbow, Bum Tish, here all week, tip your waitress.
To find out more about our range of podcasts, click, tap or swipe bbc.co.uk/5Live.